taxes. Financial concerns make up a long list of topics. And I can't wait.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, Prince of Peace, Mighty Counselor, the only true and living God, who loves us so dearly, full of grace and mercy. Please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against you, against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is Make the Most of Each Day, Part 2. My text is Psalms 90, 10, 11, and 12, which states, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Verse 10 says, the days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet it is their strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. 70 is the normal span of a human life. In the days that this expression was created, the span was considered to be 70 years. Many live fewer years due to violence, accident, and disease, and a few live longer. In any case, it is much briefer than 1,000 years, let alone God's eternity. Of the lives of the Israelites in the wilderness, all those that were numbered when they came out of Egypt, above 20 years old, were to die within 38 years. They numbered those only that were able to go forth to war, most of whom we may suppose were between 20 and 40, and therefore must have all died before 80 years old, and many before 60, and perhaps much sooner, which was far short of the years of the lives of their fathers. Before the time of Moses, it was usual for men to live about 100 years. Are nearly 150. But since 70 or 80 is the common end, which few exceed and multitudes never come near, our whole life is toilsome and troublesome. And perhaps in the midst of the years we count upon, it is cut off. We are taught by all, this is to stand in awe. The angels that sinned know the power of God's anger. Sinners in hell know it, but which of us can fully describe it? Few seriously consider it as they ought. Those who make a mock at sin and make light of Christ surely do not know the power of God's anger. Who among us can dwell with that devouring fire? Verse 11 says, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. God's wrath toward his unfaithful people is in accordance with the fear, reverence, faith, and humble holiness seeking love that they ought to have toward him. The psalmist speaks as one afraid of God's anger and amazed at the greatness of the power of it. Who knows how far the power of God's anger can reach and how deeply it can wound? Verse 12 states, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This refers especially to the ability to make the most of one's day, since they are so few. The heart of wisdom would enable the faithful to live by the right priorities, the fear of God, instead of wasting our precious, fleeting days in pursuing fancies, which leave the possessors forever poor. Let us seek the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance in heaven. Let us pray that the work of the Holy Spirit may appear and convert in our hearts, and that the beauty of holiness may be seen in our conduct. Lord, give us grace duly to consider how few our days are and how little a while we have to live in this world. We must live under a constant apprehension of the shortness and uncertainty of life and the near approach of death and eternity. We must so number our days as to compare our work with them and mind it accordingly with a double diligence, as those that have no time to waste. Those that will learn this arithmetic must pray for divine instruction, must go to God and ask of him to teach them by his Spirit, to put them under considering and to give them a good understanding. We then number our days to good purpose when thereby our hearts are inclined and engaged to true wisdom, that is, to the practice of serious godliness. Because Jesus came to this earth, was nailed to a cross, and died for our sins, let us live each day in obedience to his word as we are guided by the Holy Spirit. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. What biologists see from the shores of the dying Great Salt Lake? There are plenty of culprits behind the lake drying up. Scientists say the West is believed to be as dry as it's been in 1,200 years. The mega drought, made worse by climate change, has been contributing to the Great Salt Lake's decline. But agriculture usually bears the bulk of the blame. Upstream water diversions by expanding alfalfa farms and dairies has meant less and less flows into the lake. Utah's population is also booming. Hovind says development is now running right up to the sanctuary. A short, bumpy ride later along a rutted out dirt track, Hoover pulls to a stop at a favorite vista. The setting sun is casting an eerie orange glow over the distant mountains that ring the dry lake bed. It stretches for miles, and just a few pools of water here or there. Scientist Heidi Hovind, senior manager at the Gilmore Sanctuary in Audubon, Rockies, and Bonnie Baxter, director at the Great Lakes Institute, look for small flies at a bird sanctuary where many species of birds are affected by the recession of the Great Salt Lake. Wetlands ecologist Heidi Hovind looks for small flies at a bird sanctuary where many species are in decline due to the alarming drying of the Great Salt Lake. It is beautiful, but also eerie, even to the trained eye of wildlife biologists like Budell, who make weekly research trips to the lake. Other Burley is a great bird, she says. It's crazy. We're at Great Salt Lake right now, but there's no water. The other places where I go and sample, there's water there at least. But here, we're still at the Great Lake, and it's dry. Hovind chimes in solemnly. It's just so shocking. And you know, it's a shock to me every time I see it, she says. But to see someone view it for the first time, you can really see them taking it in. You never thought you could see this dryness. The state is being galvanized into action. But all this shock and alarm, the scientists say, may be good. It's pressuring state leaders into action. Utah Governor Spencer Cox has pledged the lake won't dry up on his watch. The state legislature has put upwards of $1 billion lately into water conservation programs, most geared to farmers. Now, a word from Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is overcoming fear. Fear is big business in the 21st century. Whether we turn on the evening news, listen to the radio on the way to work, or watch people overtake the Capitol, we are bombarded by messages that are intended to induce fear, anxiety, apprehension, and hopelessness. We are reminded time and time again that the world is a dangerous, unpredictable place. So it's no surprise that you will sometimes experience fear. The 7 most common fears are fear of criticism, fear of poverty, fear of death, fear of failure, fear of offending others, fear of looking foolish, and fear of success. What are you afraid of? And more importantly, how can you overcome your fears? Well, here are a few ways to help you overcome. First, understand that fear is one of society's greatest commodities. Modern media constantly barrages you with fear-provoking, attention-grabbing headlines designed to capture your thoughts and redirect your life. Your task is to combat fear with faith and maintain a positive attitude. Isaiah 43:1 says, "Don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Second, study God's word and trust God's promises. Studying God's word is important because it is hard to trust what you do not know. God's promises give you faith, hope, and courage. When you are afraid, His promises will comfort you. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Third, guard your thoughts and your heart from the anxieties and distractions that might cause you to stray away from His path. When you encounter situations that make you afraid, turn your thoughts and prayers to God. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." And finally, love God and your neighbor. Now you may be thinking, what's love got to do with it? Well, John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment, so the one who is afraid is not perfected in love." Remember, all of us have violated God's divine law and fall short of His glory, but the good news is that God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good news, repent, and accept Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior. For the saved, it's the right time for you to pray, trust and obey His word, and take purposeful action for His glory. Be safe and stay encouraged, my friends. And when fear knocks at your door, answer with faith. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey.